Hello, party people, and welcome back to Cast Party, presented by Shays Performing Arts Center. My name is Rita Siriani, and with me today, I have my co-party hosts. Stage left to me is Juliana Tracy.
Woo, hello.
And stage right to me is Kenny Lazuski.
I didn't even know how to handle that for a hot second.
I know.
Like, the stage right, stage left. I looked the wrong way, I'm pretty sure.
I don't even know if you actually are stage left or stage right.
Right. What is stage right? Stage left is how you're looking at the stage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, Juliana?
Well, okay, yeah. So, like, if you are on stage, if you are an actor on stage facing the audience, it is your left and your right. But if you were in the audience, it would be the opposite. So stage right would be your left, like, from the audience perspective.
Yeah. I don't like this at all.
Yep.
And vice versa. So... someone needs to make a handy-dandy drawing for at home. But
as a lifelong theater kid who has left-right confusion, I've never gotten it right.
If you are on the stage and facing out into the audience, it is your left and your right.
And then you hold up your hands in L's, and whichever L is more perfect is your left, and whichever one has a bump is your right. Does that help?
I shouldn't even said anything. Yeah, I should have kept this to myself.
Well, in addition to our left-right confusion, how are we all doing today?
Great. Wait till we get to upstage, downstage.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, no.
I don't want to get into
God.
That.
Oh,
too
geez.
Much. Too much.
We're good.
No,
anyways,
we're good.
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
The holidays are here. Shays is decorated.
Yes, we are decked out for the holidays.
Wicked is come and gone.
Yes. The Nutcracker has come and gone. Twas is on our stage. It's all happening. This week, we have a very special guest who I feel has been with us since the very beginning.
He has.
In spirit.
In the room.
We've given him multiple shout-outs with no sponsorship dollars. Nothing.
His ears were probably ringing
every time he said your name.
But with that being in mind, he is a faithful listener of the pod. Thank you. A wonderful friend of Juliana. And a lover of musical theater history, a UV music theater graduate, and a local performer who is currently the Mr. Clancy understudy in Fancy Nancy's Splendiferous Christmas, the musical at Theater of Youth. We love Theater of Youth. Please give a very warm and overdue welcome to the one, the only, Vinnie Murphy. Yay.
That's terrific.
Wow. Thank you for the introduction. I'm so happy to be here.
Vinny, we are, as you can tell by my introduction, very excited to have you. Thank you so much for being a part of our journey since the beginning. we feel like we took a lot of your feedback when you listened to the episodes.
Yes.
We've learned and we've grown through your wonderful patronage, and we're very excited to interview you today.
I guess I'm the Shays Karen, you could say.
Yeah.
All right. So, Vinny, I want to get the ball rolling. Could you tell the folks at home a little bit about yourself and your career as a local Buffalo artist?
Yeah. I came here, well, I graduated UB at 2020. Great year to graduate.
Social distance.
Thoughts and prayers.
We don't need to get into that because everyone else already has.
That is true.
I originally had a job opportunity that was presented to me in Buffalo, and then unfortunately the show got canceled, but I still moved out here because, you know, COVID. And then my first show here was A Chorus Line with O'Connell and Company.
Love it.
So ever since then, I've been here just trying to pound the pavement.
Sure.
just trying to do anything. I always say, like, I'd be like a tree in the background as long as I'm on stage or involved in the experience or in the room.
Oh, you hear that, Kenny? See? It's like the rock.
I couldn't even be a tree. Well, I'm too fidgety. Kenny, I couldn't be the tree or the rock.
No.
Lion King, I got cut.
We'll leave it to Finny. Yeah, we know. amazing. I love that we kind of, like, trapped you here.
Yeah.
That's great. So you are currently an understudy at Theater of Youth.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what that process has been like and how you prepare for something where you may have to jump in at a moment's notice, but you're never really sure?
Sure. So at the time of recording, I had my first show today.
Yay!
It was scheduled. So the great thing about Theater of Youth is that they do have scheduled performances for their understudies. They really make you feel like, you know, like you are still, like, the main cast. Like, everyone is super, super nice there. It's super, like, the vibes are immaculate. I was in the room at all times with my directors and both of my casts, so I was able to work with both. Alex was my director, and it was just an awesome experience. Like, it's a lot of, like, watching, because you have to, like, observe and take notes, and then you sort of, like, whenever you're called, like, have to apply all of the notes that you've been taken. So I probably was on the stage, like, 3 or 4 times before, like, you know, like, we had a full run, but, you know, it's a lot of, like, just applying what is given to you and then just trying to do his best, you know.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between, like, a swing and an understudy?
Yes.
See, that's what I'm confused. What's the...
So an understudy, typically, they're devoted to one track, whereas a swing would be devoted to multiple tracks.
Oh.
That's not to say, though, that sometimes understudies kind of exist in your ensemble already, which usually a casting director will hire them as, like, ensemble / as cast and then assign the understudy track later. And you'll kind of find that a lot in tours. People will, like, build in understudies in their ensemble.
Okay. That is my favorite thing to do, by the way.
Is spot the understudy.
Is spot the understudy.
Yes.
Because, like, even, like, so I was watching White Christmas the other day.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, I was like, okay, so, like, Mrs. Snoring Man is definitely built to be the understudy for Martha, who is, like, the older woman in the show.
Yeah.
So I was just, like, going through, like, I was like, okay, so this person would slot into this part.
Yep.
Wait,
yep.
It's understudy, my favorite thing to do. The understudy's on stage playing another part.
Sometimes.
And they can slot in for the part that they're understudying for.
Yeah. So, like, here's an example. So, like, I remember... for Holiday Inn, we had one of our leads go out. So one of the members of the ensemble was our internal understudy for the lead. So they went into that track, and then we had an extra who was, like, kind of on stage. And they moved up into the ensemble track, and then I had an external understudy move into the extra track. So it's almost like everyone moves up.
Yeah, everybody's filming position. Yeah, this is making sure everything's can move smoothly if somebody goes out. Or
usually
something.
Swing, they can do multiple tracks.
Right, okay. So there's the difference.
It's very difficult being an understudy. I kind of refer to you guys as wonderstudies, because what you're talking about, Vinny, is, like, you get half of the rehearsal time, you get half the stage time. It's so cool that theater of youth gives you guys an opportunity to perform. That's, like, amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
And I will say, too, like, they have been so wonderful during this process of, like, making sure, like, do you have everything what you need, like, you know, like, making sure, like, all of our costumes, like Ken Shaw was our costume designer.
Love
and
Ken.
Like, he was like, well, you're gonna wear this and this and this, and we just want to make sure it's okay with you. And then, like, our stage manager Brittany Wysocki, who I love, has just been, like, a dream.
Adore Brittany.
Aww. The entire time. And then, of course, like, Alex Watts was my director, I previously mentioned, and then Steven Shapiro was my music director, and, like, they were just really good about, like, making sure, like, the thing at Toy that I really appreciated with especially this show, since this was my first time, is that it wasn't a lot of, like, copying. So it wasn't, like, because sometimes when you're in a show and you're, like, you know, standby or understudy, they want it specifically similar to...
They want you to copy.
Like, I'm the understudy to Aaron Zaldana for Mr. Clancy, and he does things different than what I do, but they're still in the same vein, and they're still approved by my music director and director.
Nice.
And then, so, like, it's just a nice, like...
Ownership.
Like, it just, the room is just, like, everyone was so nice, and, like, it being a Christmas show and it being the holidays, like, really, like, gets your spirits. And then ultimately it's like, well, you're doing it for children, and, like, this may be, like, their first time seeing any theater whatsoever.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's a big responsibility, and you just hope, like, you live up to it, you know?
Like, speaking of that, do you guys get to, like, meet, like, do you, like, do, like, meet and greets with the kiddos or anything? So we do. That'd be so cool.
We do talkbacks.
Yeah,
there's talkbacks after every show, and they're so cute. Like, because you'll just see like a sea of like
hands. Yeah, like, especially if it's their first show and they get the buzz and you know.
I mean, it's crazy because like I feel like media is so stream central now, which I mean you can take however you want, but like. It's so corny, but there's nothing like live theater, you know? Like,
I think that everything is so stream centric now, but I think seeing live theater, like, because of that, is like, it's taken it, like, it's so special now. I mean, it was always special, but now because it's like getting a letter in the mail. Everybody sends emails, but when you get a handwritten note, it's like, I got a letter.
It's like, I feel like theater, like, you never know, like, who in the audience might be having, like, a really profound experience. Yeah. And then, like, another thing I really appreciate about a live audience, especially, like, kids, is, like, I think there's, like, a study about this, like, your heartbeats literally sync up.
Yeah.
Like, you are all on a journey together.
When you're watching,
Yeah. And I think that's just something that's, rare, as you're pointing out, with media. And for folks at home, I know we mentioned Pigeon on the Bus and Theater of Youth before, but if I was traveling from Main Street to Theater of Youth...
It's like Elmwood. You can go down Elmwood, and then I think it's on Allen. Like,
Right by the old gym stakeout.
Allen.
It is, because I was like, it's right by the gym stakeout. Trying to think where else.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun restaurants around there. You can make a whole day of it.
There's a lovely coffee place right
It's across the street from Casa Azul.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, perfect.
So nice.
So there you go, guys.
What's the coffee, Vinny, what's the coffee place, like, right by stage door there? I love it. They have a chai drink called like the Muhammad Ali. I think it's essentially like a dirty chai, but it is so good. And I used to get it before every show because I was a caffeine deprived.
Juliana
was in a Theater of Youth show.
We just brought that up.
The Pigeon Drive the Bus.
I just am reiterating it because I'm her agent. So.
That's right. We decided Kenny's Juliana's agent going forward.
Show. Were you in that show too?
I wasn't, but I saw it. Because I try to see everything.
That's you guys go to so many shows together.
Yeah.
We really do.
We just saw, at the time of filming, we saw the Merrily We Roll Along movie in the theaters with Daniel Radcliffe and Jonathan Groff. Yeah.
I saw your Letterboxd, guys, I knew.
we both originally saw it on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that was only a year ago. It feels so much longer.
June 2024, and I was like, that can't be right.
Right.
Oh my God.
That was the most expensive theater ticket I've ever spent in my life.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't you have an understudy that day too for one of them?
My story, so I was obsessed with Lindsay Mendez, and Lindsay played a role, the role that she played is a role that actually, not to bring up the COVID story, but Vinny and I were both in Merrily We Roll Along in college, and then the pandemic hit, and we basically got like one performance of it so that we could put it on our resumes, and then we had to leave. So, like, very reminiscent of, like, Merrily We Roll Along's actual run.
Yeah.
It was a huge flop.
Right.
It was a huge flop originally.
But, yes, that always, like, I had a soft spot for that show in particular because of that. And then I was like, I have to see, like, my Broadway idol be this role that, like, I connected to so much and, like, had a heartbreaking experience with. Mm-hmm. And then I went, and as I'm, like, on the plane, about to turn off my phone, Lindsay posted, like, I have pneumonia. and stuff like that. So I'm out of the show. Her wonder study was fabulous. And bawled my eyes out then. But it was last night really, like, important that I finally got to see Lindsay do the part.
I have a crazy story about unplanned performances. So I'm originally from upstate New York, so R. Shays is Proctor's Theater in Schenectady. And I was going to see, ironically enough, Wicked for the second time. And it was a matinee, and the Elphaba, regular Elphaba was not on, and so I saw the standby, and her name was Alyssa Fox. And it, like, completely, I mean, because I always say, like, I love Wicked, but, like, I fell in love with, like, a performer that day where it was, like, I just was, like, obsessed, and then I have this, like, BCEFA, like, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, signed posters that you could buy.
Right.
But I was just, like, so obsessed with this performer, and then... luckily, I was able to be in the Starring Buffalo production of Cats, where I did Oh my gosh.
You were Skimble.
Skimble Shanks and Mungo Jerry. Yeah.
That's right.
And the person they happened to bring in was Alyssa Fox.
Oh my god.
That's cool.
Alyssa Fox also, for the Wicked fans out there, 20th anniversary Elphaba as well.
Like,
okay.
So she's like an important Elphaba.
Even before that, previously, she came to Shays for the Disney Princess concert.
Yeah.
And so I was like, guys, we all have to go. I love this performer. And then, I was like a little stage door Johnny just waiting for her. And I was like, I hope you don't think I'm a stalker. I just really like
her.
You
wait at the stage door, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Our intern Bailey always waits there, gets all the autographs.
Yeah.
Just be cool.
Just be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's a definite protocol. But I try not to do it as much, but like obviously if like
special people,
but it was I just the entire time, like, again, thank you Drew Fornarola and Starring Buffalo. Insane experience that I will treasure for the entirety of my life. I was like, and that was in Buffalo, so I'm like, I've pretty much peaked already. So,
oh my gosh, I was gonna say, how was working with Alyssa Fox then?
She couldn't have been nicer, honestly. Like, and she, it's just like ludicrous how talented some people are, that they just come in and they're like, yeah, that was okay, right? And you know, you're like, I remember one day I was like, I hope you know, I'm probably gonna cry whenever you sing. Yes. And then, like, after one rehearsal, like, because Juliana was in the room too, she like turned around and was like, did that make you cry? And I was like, yeah, a little bit. I mean, hearing her sing Memory every, like, we did three performances, right?
Yeah.
I was just sitting there and I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's like so cool. So, like, I mean, I've worked for like a couple of companies, like O'Connell and Company has been like, truly, like, I cannot thank them enough because they helped me. Like, Joey Buhecker and Mary-Kate O'Connell have really just given me, like, such amazing tools Aww. To have after, you know, college. Because I really thought I was, like, I mean, I was like, if you can't make it in Buffalo, like, I'm not going to make it anywhere. Like, no. So I've been so blessed that they've been able to, like, take me back so many times. And then, like, I've, you know, Eric Deep Weaver, I've worked with a couple of times. I did 42nd Street at Lockport Palace with him, and that was a huge Crazy Tap show. And then I did recently Crazy for You with him at Lancaster Opera House. And, like, he's just the nicest guy ever. And Dan Lenzian, who's playing next door, maybe at the time of filming with Alleyway, I've been under his direction. I mean, like, there's just, besides, like, obviously I have so many actor friends, but there's just so many people that have, you know, helped me as a person and, like, as an actor and, like, just a human being, like, just being in this city. Like, it's just amazing. I never, like, try to take anything for granted.
I mean, this is so wonderful, and yeah, it's so great how many of the, like, these amazing local companies you've worked with, but also just to give you flowers, like, it's so amazing that, like, in this short amount of time, you've, like, established yourself so well, and you have so much, like, so many good relationships with all these companies.
For now.
right. Okay, I mean, wait until the end of the episode when we just trash talk everyone.
Cancel.
Yeah, no, we would never. No. Oh my gosh. No, but
you can cut that.
No, but honestly, I think the fact that you've worked with so many of these amazing people in our community and so many of these amazing companies in our community, I think that's a really big testament to, like, how you are as a worker and an artist.
Have you and Juliana been in a show together?
Yes.
Besides, college, right?
College. I'm trying to think. Have we been in a professional show together?
I would say, I mean, Cats, we were...
Cats, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I used to direct Cats.
Yep, I knew that. Yeah.
Well, have we worked as actors on stage besides college, though?
Yeah.
I don't think we have.
Would you guys want to?
I would love to.
Do you guys play bells together off each other?
I feel like so. Yeah.
Everyone.
Like, working with your friends, like, professionally,
yes.
I'd say, is
yes.
like a good thing. Yeah.
I think having a good cast, like, in general, and I constitute, like, having a good cast as either being friends with people in the cast or becoming friends with people in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important, because especially when a lot of shows are about, like, your relationships to one another, a lot of shows you need to be, like, at least seem like you know the person.
Right, yeah. Have some connection.
Yeah.
Because everybody always says, like, don't work for a family business, right? If your friends, like, you don't want to muddy the waters or whatever, if you're friends with a business owner. But, like, this is different.
I think it
depends.
You want to
be friends. Yeah.
I think there's an written and unestimated like thing about trust in theater.
Yeah.
I think as an actor, you have to trust not only your director, but everyone you're working with, that they're not only going to support you, but you're going to support everyone else.
Sure.
Like, and I always say, like, if, I mean, and you've seen it, Juliana, where it's like, if something doesn't go right, you like you see the like the loss of trust.
Yes,
and it's it bombs whatever chemistry in production is. So to me, it's like trust is like you just have to have it. And sometimes you're in situations where it's like there is a problem, but like sometimes you like you know your cast and everyone just grabs by the bootstraps and you pull it up and you pull it together. And I mean, sometimes even like chaos can bring something truly amazing together.
Yeah, as long as you're in it together.
And oftentimes, like, chaos can bring you together closer as a group. Like, you know.
We love a trauma bond.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's all about making your partner look good. And, like, I think that's all, like, all you can really do as, like, a scene partner and as a member of a company is, am I making my partner look good?
And listening.
Yes.
Yeah. I know, like, everyone's like, listen. Like, but no, like, you really, just be present and listen. Like, I try as much as I can. You know, Juliana always has to, you know, like, like hello. Like, so. But, I mean, I talk about some random stuff that Juliana's like, okay, I gotta listen to this shit. So, like, even in life, like.
It applies to all.
Juliana just experienced that at lunch when I was trying to talk to her.
What were you trying to talk to her about?
Well, we can't talk about what we were talking about, but
that's enough.
The boo-boos? No, the boo-boos. I am selling them. If anybody
no hunchback.
Anybody, no hunchback.
I feel like now that I'm trying to
produce the hunchback locally here.
I mean, it has been done. Starring Buffalo did it a couple of years ago.
Where?
Not here, but you talk to Drew Fonarola. He might be able to bring it back.
Hey, Drew.
We need a good hunchback.
Let's please help. I'll Drew up. Actually, we can.
He's so lovely. He probably can.
I love Drew. Very popular right now. Hercules, Goofy movie. All that, like, it's very popular.
Well, speaking of Hercules, I'm not trying to subtly brag, but I do have a London trip planned. And I'm going to see Hercules.
God damn it! He's going to go see Hercules.
I'm going to see Hercules, Devil Wears Prada, Oliver, Starlight Express.
What about
Starlight
Express?
And Paddington.
Paddington, you're going to go see the big... Okay.
I'm the most jealous about that, but Vinny has a Starlight Express...
Obsession.
I think he needs to...
Wait, that's the rollerblading one.
Yes.
We have a pair signed right in Chaylor's office.
We do have a pair. I can show you them.
That's amazing.
Can't take them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I've never seen it live, but it's like a white whale almost to me. Like, it's just, like, I am a fan of cats, like, biasly probably, because I've done it in concert, but I there's something about Andrew Lloyd Webber's music that I just, like, and I'm an equal opportunity, like, offender with composers. Like, I like Andrew Lloyd Webber, I like Stephen Sondheim, I like, you know, Jerry Herman's my man, like, Candor and Ebb, like, they're the best.
I killed
like,
that man, I'm sorry. That's a different story.
Because I feel like when people talk about, like, for example, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat,
love that.
They talk about, like, you either like it or you don't.
I
like it.
I saw that here.
But it's the thing that I like about Lloyd Webber, and you see it in a lot of the shows, is that there's a cool variety of melody with different styles. And I feel like with Joseph, it's like very evident because you go from like country to rock to pop and stuff like that. And I like it in Starlight. And I also just like, I just think it's a little bit of the excess and a little bit of the craziness. And as a lover of camp, I can't deny that I think Starlight Express is kind of camp. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, for folks at home who don't know, Starlight Express is an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical about trains.
Toy trains.
Toy trains.
Racing to be the fastest engine in the world.
That's what
and
it's about?
Yes, yes, and every actor on stage
is in roller skates.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it came out after Cats.
But why the roller skates? Just why not?
They're trains.
Because it was Lloyd Webber.
What does the stage look like?
So
if they're like doing...
That's the $1 million question.
Yeah, what is the stage?
So the stage, when it was originally done, they made it like custom built as like a almost circular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no flat surfaces really, so that way they can like do roller skating. I mean, this is crazy, but it's true. Starlight Express is the longest running German musical ever. Wow. It is still currently running in Bochum, Germany for like over 20 years.
That doesn't surprise me because I guess Germany had a lot of success with like Rocky the musical, and it seems
and
like...
And Dance of the Vampires, yeah, and Tarzan.
They like the spectacle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I mean,
so cool.
If I can come back for season two or, you know, season three, I'll
give you a full review. Has Chase ever had Starlight Express?
I believe they have.
Is Starlight Express going, how can you go on tours with the rollerblades? And you have to...
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to go through the archives.
Does he? This is crazy. It's about trains?
It's about trains.
Yes, about trains. Again, racing to be the fastest.
It's a Cinderella story, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Rusty. Rusty and Pearl.
Is there a movie or anything? It's just a show?
It's just a show.
Isn't the theater in Germany, like, custom built?
It's custom
built. Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be, like, just for them.
Yeah.
It's like a roller rink. Like, it's like...
That's what I was getting at. Is it like a roller...
It is. Kind of. Racetracks almost.
But John Napier, who was the set and costume designer, because back then in the 80s, it was like... It was kind of like some productions did the same thing. So John Napier also did the original designs for Cats and Les Miserables, the set design, and I want to say Phantom, but I could be completely wrong. But, like, I mean, the man is a genius and of excess, and, like, it's just the German production has updates, and I'm not seeing the German production. I'm seeing the London production, and the guy who directed Anne Juliet, which has come to Shays previously, is directed this. So they kind of like update it. So like Greaseball is played by a female.
Ooh.
And it's kind of got this like, I don't want to say undertone, but it's like pretty queer. Like,
love
you know,
it.
Like,
yeah.
So, but I mean, I can't say anything. I haven't seen it, but I'm very excited.
I'm very excited for you. The shows you just listed are so exciting. We've been upstairs talking about Paddington.
Bawling over Paddington.
You're just crying.
As a new theater person, Sam's a new theater person.
Yes, you are.
The Paddington Bear thing is insane. Like that interview that went viral with the guy from the BBC, you know, when he was like interviewing, mm-hmm. He's like, oh my, he was like crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like meeting him.
I mean,
and the there's an actor in there, and then the voice is different.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Like, she was in, like, Star, like, she's done other.
It's
things.
Just amazing. It's, yeah. It's, I think theater is powerful.
What could you say? What could we say about, like, the big difference between going to see a show on Broadway versus going to see a show at West End?
Because
in my mind, I feel like West End has a lot more risks.
Yes.
Whereas Broadway, I feel like, is a little bit more reliable in, like, okay, I know I'm going to buy this ticket, I'm going to have this experience.
I think, I would say, unfortunately, the biggest difference now is the finances.
Yeah.
I think in this current economy, I mean, it's crazy to... Broadway, to me, is so much more of a risk than producing in the West End. I mean, even just producing in America. Like, even back in the 80s, it's like... Producing on Broadway is like 100 times more expensive than producing in London and in the UK. Like, and that's why, I mean, if you notice too, like, they'll take the risk and they'll send productions over to get workshopped and fixed, you know, quote, in air quotes, fixed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, Devil Wears Prada had a tryout in Chicago. It got mixed to unfavorable reviews, and then they put it in the West End, and it's, you know, despite the reviews, it's still running.
That's
you know, like, I mean, Hadestown had a rocky road to Broadway.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the original cast of Hadestown at the National Theater in London.
That's so cool.
Before I saw, you know, before America saw it,
yeah.
You know, quote unquote. Like, I mean, it did have
a concept
off Broadway and, you know, multiple, you know, productions, but I mean, I had no idea that, you know, it was going to be this huge thing. Like, it just depends. Like, I think what's unfortunate is, like, so now it's like you have to almost, like, have a tryout production, but it's so expensive that you have to almost make it perfect tryout before you see it on Broadway. Like, I saw... this is, like, the first show I ever really can say I did this for. I saw Boop, the musical, in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then I saw it with my boyfriend right before it closed on Broadway. And just even watching that, they made so many changes. Like, it's just, I think in general, well, okay, on a lighter note, not to completely, like, divulge, they get ice cream in the West End.
Yes.
And in Canada.
That's it.
What do you mean?
During intermission.
Interval.
Okay, sorry.
So at the interval, you can get ice cream as, like, your concession snack, and they trust you. Whereas in America, no way.
Not here in Shade.
They call the orchestra the stalls.
So there's all different lingo.
Yeah.
What is interval? Is that intermission?
Yeah.
In West End. Okay.
But, and also I think our theaters are much bigger. Even our touring houses are much bigger.
Well, Shade's is huge, right?
Shade's
is the biggest.
It's 3,000 seats.
The state. I don't know about New York.
Broadway touring.
And there's like a circular, I mean, because their theaters, I would say, are much older.
Sure.
I think the Royal Drury Lane is potentially one of the oldest, if not the oldest, theater in the UK.
Yeah.
But like they're rounded out more. Where in America, it seems so much like rectangular and like widescreen almost like, and I mean again, like a lot of theaters were, you know, went from theaters to movie houses in America too. So like,
yeah, that's a big part of it too, I bet. But
we're a movie house.
That's right.
Before,
no, I love this take. This is really exciting stuff.
What about
actually.
Boop?
Yeah,
I
what happened to Boop? Betty Boop, right?
I mean,
is that still on Broadway? It's gone.
No,
it's going to tour.
I'm crossing my heart and hoping it comes to Shays, because
you think Juliana knows and she's not telling us.
Maybe. Oh, I
no,
mean,
I don't know.
It hasn't been announced. I mean, they just announced licensing it. I think theatrical rights worldwide.
I thought said that the tour is coming soon for Boop.
I think so. Yeah.
No, I think it's like confirmed. Like, I don't know about here. But
But I mean, it's just to.
Is it good?
I love it. Aww. It's probably like a guilty pleasure for me, for sure. But it's like, it's almost like what you talk about with Paddington, like how people have this like nostalgia. Yep. Like obviously, like I'm not from the 20s, even though like I feel like I am. I didn't, but like I grew up with Betty Boop, like so. Aww. I like, and Jasmine Amy Rogers' performance as
she was really good.
It just was like, I can't understate how good she was. Like
she felt like Boop. She felt like Betty.
I mean, when I saw it in Chicago, I was like, she's perfect. Like it just, there's magic sometimes, you know, like it's just, it's crazy.
The song at the top of Act Two where they're switching.
Where is Betty?
Where is Betty? Black and white.
And that wasn't in Chicago when
I
saw it.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Really wonderful stage work. I would love to see that here. Yes. Or I mean, if we have to drive to Toronto or Cleveland, we will. But
Albert, if you're listening.
She's in Toronto. Boop is in Toronto.
No, but sometimes like you know with like, touring, you know, there's a possibility.
Like Bat Out of Hell is coming to Toronto. It just got announced.
Ooh. And like last year, Juliana and I were like, oh, we really want to go see Parade. So like we both went the same day in separate cars and like braved a snowstorm to go see Parade. Yeah, and Vinny was there.
You were there too?
I saw Parade.
So I didn't get invited to go see Parade.
One of the best things I've seen all year.
I agree with that.
I would have loved Parade.
I don't know. I think you would have been like, I'm sad.
It's very heavy.
No, I don't want to sad, Vinny. It's very, very heavy. I don't like to be sad.
It was beautiful though. It was really beautiful.
Very heavy.
Notebook was sad.
People
were crying, sobbing in the lounge.
Crying in the theater.
It's just sobbing. It's the human, you know, interaction that gets you, you know. And Juliana likes to clown me a lot.
Because I
am, I don't know why, I can't explain it, but I just love like these old Broadway flops, like these just failures, or just these old musicals that nobody has ever heard of from like the 20s. And so, like, when we go see contemporary stuff, it's not like, it's just, I don't not like it and I don't not appreciate it, but it's like, it doesn't like I don't obsess over it like TikTok or, you know, other people do. And I'm not saying, like, again, like, I don't like it. And I, because really, I enjoy pretty much everything I go see. Yeah. Like, I think even if something is terrible, you still have a story about it. Yeah, and I think you're still, like, you're supporting somebody in the end, like, and you're supporting, like, work, you know? So, like, and... I just go to the theater, people. Anyways, but...
I mean, I'm going to make Vinny uncomfortable and compliment him again and say, like, if you are a local... If you are... Not even local, but if you are a performer and you want to be a performer or you're wondering how to get into the theater, the best way is to attend a performance and go to theater as much as possible. And, like, one thing that's, like, hats off to Vinny and hats off to Juliana is you guys make a great effort to go see as much theater as possible. And if you are someone who is young and is interested in being in theater, that is the best step one.
And there's tons of affordable options. You just make sure you look them up. Like,
and there's student rates sometimes.
I was so upset because I wanted to see, so I'm going to D.C. next weekend to see theater. And I wanted to see a performer that I really love. Shout out to Julie Benko. Is in Guys and Dolls in D.C. And the tickets were like $200 a pop. And I was like, I can't go see this. And then Mary O'Shea, upstairs, who we've interviewed before, reminded me, like, there's discount codes. There's, like, programs. And I looked it up, and immediately there was a 35 and under.
Look at that.
So it's like, there's, if you do the research, there's ways to do it.
I will say, too, not to give this a plug or anything, but because I'm from upstate. I never had Toronto. And so, like, I am so thankful that I live so close to Canada and Toronto. But there is a Toronto Theater Reddit, and they do have, usually they have it pinned at the top where it says theater discounts and codes. So a lot of the stuff at the Mervish, which I would compare to Shays, you know, like, that's like, the Mervish is pretty much like the touring Broadway, you know, West End, whatever, of Canada, and they're great. I love the Mervish. They usually have Rush, and they always usually have, like, discount codes and emails and, you know, stuff that, like, if you were a subscriber, you know, a casual Shays ticket buyer, like, you get same thing. But you just got to, I think, just in general in life, you just got to do a little bit of research.
Got to be a little bit of a sleuth.
Yeah, a little bit.
Speaking of obscure musicals, what's an obscure musical that you feel like everyone should check out once?
Grab Me a Gondola. I'm just kidding.
There was a phase where I was obsessed with this British musical called Grab Me a Gondola because I liked... Sometimes, for me, I just like a con... Like, there's a concept, and I go, okay, like, what is this? So, this isn't the one I'd recommend, but there is this, like, semi-popular... Like, it's forgotten in America because it never came here, but it's called Grab Me a Gondola. But the point of the...
It's an inside joke.
The point of the show... And the concept, I mean, it was like 60s, so again, it was not, we're not thinking real deep here, but the inspiration was at the Venice Film Festival, there was an actress named Diana Dors, and Diana Dors was like the British Marilyn Monroe.
Is that a stage name?
No, that was like probably her stage name, but like this was like the real person.
Sandy Beach, like Diana Dors.
Well, you know why people have stage names, right?
No, I don't.
Because they can't, like when you join the union, you can't have the same name as someone else.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If I was Ken Lazuski.
Yeah, and there's another Ken Lazuski.
I can't be Ken Lazuski.
No, I know so many.
What the?
So many people I know. On social media and in real, like, as actors have to go, like, let's say, like, I was going, like, instead of, like, of their name being, like, Juliana Tracy, they have to be, like, I am Juliana M. Tracy.
Yep. Did you guys change your names?
Like, I kind of did. Ooh. I was Vincent Murphy for a while because that's my legal name.
Yeah.
And then I just changed it to Vinny with a Y. Because that's just my nickname, and I just feel like that's what people...
That's what it is.
It's got a nice glow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept mine the same. I'm not a part of Actors Equity. I kept mine
Neither
the same.
Neither am I.
However, because one time when I was auditioning for Elon Music Theater, they told me, wow, Juliana Tracy, that's a name you could see on a marquee, and then did not... have me go to their school. So,
oh, my God, that's
Juliana
so
Tracy
funny.
Juliana Tracy is a name you could see on a marquee.
Yeah, 100%.
But I kept that with me. Thanks, Elon.
But anyways, back to Grab Me a Gondola.
Wait, what if I threw that on Tracy? It's a name you can see on a marquee.
Yeah, it is.
In fact,
in Grab Me a Gondola. Gondola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have me start.
But basically, so it was, the concept was, is that Diana Doris was a famous British actress, and she was known as the British Marilyn Monroe. And their idea for this musical was based on real life. So basically, she came to Venice in a fur bikini.
What?
And it was, like, big scandal. And so that's, like, the concept of the musical. So they're like, oh, the big celebrity comes to the Venice Film Festival. It's stupid. I can't, no offense to anyone who wrote it. They're probably passed away. But I don't want to disrespect.
God bless.
But I guess I would say for obscure musicals, like, if you consider them obscure, I mean, I don't really, but, like, I think everyone should pretty much know the Sondheim catalog. Like, I'm a fan of Do I Hear a Waltz. I know a lot of people
oh my God.
Maybe aren't. Like, actually, my friend Robert W. Schneider is producing with J2 Spotlight Productions a revival off-Broadway of Do I Hear a Waltz. So shout out to Rob. Like, again, another human being that has, like, completely changed my life. But, I mean, like, if you consider Follies obscure, like, that's in my top 10 musicals. Going, not to plug my friend Rob W. Schneider again, but I've seen some musicals off-Broadway with his company, J2 Spotlight Theater Company, that I never in my life thought I would see. I saw this wonderful Candor and Ebb musical called Woman of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
That's based on the Hepburn, and I can't think of the male actor's name. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
But it was fabulous. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. And then probably my favorite, and the answer to the question that everyone's wondering, is I'd probably say Smile. It was a Marvin Hamlish musical. Howard Ashman, who did the lyrics to Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast. Like, there's some parts that are, like, obviously not, like, politically correct in it,
right?
But I just, there's something, again, it's just, I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. So basically, for anyone who doesn't know what Smile is about, it's based on the 1970s I want to say B movie, but it's basically about these girls in California competing in a beauty pageant, and you see, like, the process of the pageant, and it mainly follows these two girls who are roommates, and one is, like, super into pageants, and the other is kind of just like, well, I'm here, like, it's almost like, I would pretty much say, like, if you've seen Drop Dead Gorgeous, it's similar, it's very similar, but the music is just so good, and, like,
do you remember when you watched that the D23 thing? Like, you had me stream Jodie Benson sing a song about Disney.
Yes,
that's she where loved, it's from, and she was.
She
in
was
it.
Like saying how that song, like,
she sang
that.
Disneyland.
I saw that live. Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that was terrific. Yep.
Disneyland.
That's probably the most famous song.
Yeah, Jodie sang that live at the convention I was at.
There's so.
Oh my God,
that's a good pitch for it.
There's not, and I've said to. I would love to see it produced somewhere in Buffalo. Because also I think, like, you know, selfishly as an actor, like, I just think there's a ton of roles for females to really show their stuff. And, like, I know there's not a lot of, like, you know, big female-led music. Like, I think, like, Little Women is, like, the first thing I come to, or, like, and that's still, like, super small,
right.
But, like, I just think it's great, and I just, that's the problem with theater sometimes, is that it's so money-based sometimes, but there's some real gems that, you know, people don't know about, and that's why I try to go see them, because I'm, like, you know, I think what I personally believe as I get older, and I think this is why I like revivals and older media so much, is that with theater, it's all vision and it's all production based, and I think, like, something could work and then it couldn't, but, like, I mean, just for example, like, we brought it up earlier, Merrily. I mean, Merrily went through so many rewrites, and now it's, like, considered a masterpiece, and I really think that could apply to practically any musical if you work or play, if you work hard enough at it and if you care enough about it. And sometimes, like, I think I heard from someone that, like, a good revival is something that hits the public at a in a place where they most need it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I think, like, I mean, I just, I have to agree with that. Like, I mean, there's nothing, I mean, obviously if something is outdated, we can, you know, maybe put it aside, yeah, or if we want to rewrite it, but, you know, don't, I keep moving forward, but also don't be afraid to look back.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Take the risks as a patron. Try something new. Mm-hmm. I love it. Vinny, very well said. My friend, we have had the most wonderful conversation with you, and now it is time for rapid fire questions.
That was a beautiful conversation.
That was lovely.
That was lovely, yeah.
All right. Are you ready for rapid fire questions, Vinny?
I suppose so.
Awesome. Thank you, friend. Dream role you haven't played yet.
It's everyone says it, but probably the MC in Cabaret.
Oh, I love that for you.
But also, I've probably aged out of it, but there's a British musical called Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
Yeah.
And I would love to play the lead of that. And then also, this is like super corny, I would love to be Snoopy in Snoopy the Musical.
Stop it. That's cute. I love that.
I love that show. They're just, you know, little corny parts. But I mean, like, if a dream role that I'll never play, like, probably Roxy Hart. Like, who knows? But
hear that, folks. I've got a miscast show for you, please. Favorite musical theater composer?
John Kander and Jerry Herman.
Nice. Most chaotic costume you've ever worn?
I don't think I've ever worn a chaotic costume. I think I've worn like a costume that I don't define chaotic.
Quick change, uncomfortable, really hot, really cold.
I wouldn't say it was uncomfortable, but probably the most like crazy costume I ever wore was when I did Lacage at O'Connell and Company, which was so fun because I was in like full drag and we were wearing these like practically, like, they were probably from the national tour or something, but this, like, giant, like, you know, drag costume. And I mean, I didn't find it uncomfortable. I personally loved it. And shout out to my friend Timmy Goodman, who costume designed that show. I mean, it was super fun. So,
yeah. That is good chaos.
Drag, I would say, was probably the most chaotic costume any person could wear.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. And good chaos, though. Yeah. Fabulous chaos. Golden age or contemporary?
If you want an answer, I'll probably be golden age, but I don't...
Do you want an answer?
Yeah, golden age, but I would say both. Like, but
yes,
my heart probably goes more towards golden age.
Favorite movie musical?
I'm going to give two.
Yes.
I'd probably say my favorite is the Chicago movie.
Oh, yes.
I just think it's the best.
Yeah.
But I would like to recommend to people, if they've never seen it, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes with Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, good shout out.
I think it's just, I can't think of the director. I don't think it's William Wyler, but I just think it's a beautiful film.
It's fun. It's
and super obscure, but if you can find it, The Belle of New York with Vera Ellen and... I can't think of his name, but he tap dances on the ceiling.
Oh, Fred Astaire?
Fred Astaire. Please cut that I didn't know who Fred Astaire was. Fred Astaire.
It's like, okay, you had a show today.
Yeah.
go-to audition song lately?
Ooh.
Probably Grow For Me from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. Oh, you would be a really good Seymour.
Yeah.
I don't know. The way they're casting Seymours now, they have to be like drop-dead gorgeous models, so.
Well, you know what?
Seymour was always hot. Like,
yeah.
Both in the who they're casting and in the past where it wasn't as traditionally attractive. Seymour was always hot, and we just have to get on that train.
Yeah. Rick Moranis, we're looking at you.
That's exactly what we're referring to. Rick Moranis in that movie was hot. I'm sorry. Put my stamp on that.
All right, Vinny, you're dramaturging a musical. Would you do an actor packet or a lobby display?
I would do both.
Yes, that's the right answer.
Because I think the audience needs to be as informed as the actors.
Period. Yes. Lovely. Favorite Broadway cast recording of all time?
Gosh, that's so hard.
Yeah, I really put you to it today. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to go, because it's my favorite musical, I'm probably just going to say the revival cast recording of Chicago from like 1997, 1996. It's just, it's my favorite musical of all time. Like, I just really respond to it. But like, obviously there's like so many good cast recordings out there, even of like shows that aren't my favorite. Like, I know this is like a rapid fire, but like sometimes like I really like listening to the If Then Idina Menzel soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because I saw it, but it's not like, again, like no musical's perfect. It's not like my favorite perfect musical. But I guess the sound engineering of the actual album, I think, is cast recording, excuse me, is very good.
I actually hear that a lot about If Then. Like, people will be like, I saw a show, eh. I love listening to the soundtrack. I hear that a lot. That's really cool. All right. And then my last shout out, or sorry, my last rapid fire question. Any shout outs or plugs you'd like to give the listeners at home before we let you go? Anything coming up that they should know about?
Yes. My next show is Corduroy at Theater of Youth.
Ooh, so cute.
Thankfully, they have cast me again. I'm very excited about that.
Yay. Thank you, Theater of Youth.
Yes, thank you. Seriously. but also, just there's so many good upcoming shows that I would just recommend seeing. Like, at the time of recording, I know O'Connell and Company is doing Shrek the Musical at the Smith. I know Musical Fair has an incredible lineup with Jesus Christ Superstar and Hairspray. Cool. And I know Lancaster Opera House has great stuff coming up with Lucky Stiff and Footloose in the summer. And
so much stuff.
Go see live. I mean, obviously, I mean.
Go see Vinny.
But obviously, too, like, I mean, Shay's got really cool stuff coming up. Stuffs, Water for Elephants. Mm-hmm.
Kimberly Akimbo,
Best Musical Winner.
Yeah.
I mean, just if you can, you know, take a night out, have some escapism, go see some live theater.
Give you tickets.
Oh, hear that, folks.
Go to Shay's.
Kenny
will give you a drink.
Yeah. If you want. listen, we have
Juliana
a lot of
throws
tickets,
them over her desk to me.
It's not that much.
Juliana Geeky. She has the drink ticket.
I am,
booklets, so when I need one, she throws them at me.
But also,
I trust Juliana. Yes.
But also, if you ever want some random musical theater history, you can come to me.
Yes.
And like a little Snapple fact of musical theater. So
yeah, folks, I really do hope you take a page out of Vinny's book, and maybe your New Year's resolution is to see more theater, and Vinny's giving you the playbook here. So that was a perfect segue into our campus shout out, so thank you so much. Yes, obviously we've got Shrek the Musical by O'Connell and Company at Shea Smith from January 15th through the 25th. It is a really fun musical, great for kids. Definitely check it out. Mamma Mia, it's part of our Shays 710 and the second generation theater season, and that'll be at Shays 710 Theater from January 15th through February 1st. Can't wait. And folks, if you are interested in purchasing any of our lovely centennial merch to get into the centennial spirit, come visit us at the Shays box office at 650 Main to get your typical centennial coffee blend, a Shays pennant, and any of our stylish and elusive Shays centennial pins. We've got them and more. And Ken, I would let you play out, but really quick, do you want to tell folks a little bit about Seatplex?
Yeah, so real quick, we are reintroducing our Seatplex campaign, both at Shays Buffalo Theater as well as the Shays 710 Theater. So all the prices vary depending on where the seats are, but you can get a limited time in Shays Buffalo, a limited centennial version of the seat plaque that goes in the armrests, and then you can also get a seat plaque at 710 as well, which obviously we renovated the front of the house there with the bar and everything. So once the centennial is over, that version of the seat plaque is going in the vault. We're not ever going to do that version again.
Whoa.
So you have the centennial season here to reach out, secure your seats, because once they're gone, obviously there's not that armrest to put one on again. So that's happening now. So it's on our website. If you go to you search on our website, the CPLAC campaign, it's there, or give a shout, reach out, or there's an ad in the playbill as well, a QR code. But yeah, so the CPLAC campaign is happening. If you're a subscriber, go get your armrest now.
Nice.
Name on it.
Very nice. All right. Vinny, Juliana, Kenny, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you guys so much.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's right. Happy New Year.
Yeah. We hope you guys enjoyed the vibes. We'll see you at rehearsal. And Kenny, why don't you play us out?
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Beautiful. Podcast Party is presented by Shays Performing Arts Center.
Produced by Cassandra Lippert, Ken Lazuski, myself, Juliana Tracy, and Rita Siriani.
Theme song by John Michael Ogletree.
Audio mixing by Dave Lenhart.
Logo and graphics designed by Acacia Crozier.
Marketing and social media by Bridget Neeson.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to Shays Performing Arts Center Presents Cast Party, wherever exceptional podcasts are downloaded.
Or visit us at shays.org.
Bye-bye.